Oh, man. Hey, this is John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. I'm here with Doug Aldridge of the Dead Daisies. Doug, man, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming out today.
Yeah, what a pleasure to hear you rip that thing,
well,
man.
Well, the first one I did was the best one.
Yeah, well, when the camera wasn't rolling.
When I'm not thinking about it, yeah. Then I'm like, okay, go.
Yeah, well, that one kicked ass too. They were the one that we got was great too. But hey, let's hear about this Les Paul. You've been a lifetime Les Paul guy.
I've bounced around a bit. I like, I love all guitars.
Yeah.
I'm down for owning one of all guitars. You know? But I started with a Les Paul when I was a kid, and his Gold Top was my first good one. And I just kind of, I went around the circles a little bit. I really got into Jacksons and Charvels when I was a kid.
Sure.
Later, I had a Strat actually prior to that. And but eventually, Fender, I love. Eventually, I started playing Les Pauls again when I started working with Ronnie James Dio.
Sure.
And I noticed in some live recordings that we did that the Les Paul was just, it was huge.
You know, right.
It was like a really fat sound. And so I kind of went back to him, and I got a Gold Top, got a couple of Gold Tops that remind me of when I was a kid, you know, so I love it.
So do you still have your original one you had when
no,
you were a kid?
No, I butchered that one. It was a 73 Deluxe.
Sure.
And I routed it for pickups and did a bunch of stuff.
So as you do, as yeah, everybody yeah. did back then, yeah.
And once I got, you know, I got away from that, I started, you know, when Eddie came out with the Whammy bar, making it so important for his sound, I wanted to get a Strat with a Whammy bar, and I gave up the Les Paul to somebody.
Yeah. But you get all these almost whammy-esque effects just with your bends and hands, and it's really awesome. I mean, on that
Thanks.
Guitar, it's pretty incredible.
Well, that's one thing about a non-tremolo situation is that you can do a lot of cool things tuning-wise, like on the go. You can do it. I don't want to get too away from the point, but yeah, the tremolo and the tuning thing is really good with the Les Paul, you know, for that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that is a huge tone.
But that's just kind of the straight in tone. That's pretty much nothing on except the delay, which I'll turn that off. And so for some of those kinds of tremolo effects, you're talking or whammy bar effects, yeah. It's more bending up that I do, which is like. Stuff like that, you know, but
God, it's great. So what year is this Les Paul?
This is a 2006, I think it is.
Oh, wow.
It's a R7 reissue. And I had it refretted because I have a certain fret that I really like.
But what frets are you running on it?
These are I'm actually not sure of the brand because it's a stainless steel. It might be a Dunlop.
But they're a little bit bigger than the.
They're bigger. They're like 6100s kind of.
Yeah.
And
probably helps with those big bends just to have a little more.
And the intonation, when any guitar you get from the shop, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit. But I have this guy in LA called Bruce Nelson. He's a great luthier, and he did the frets on this, and these are stainless frets. He talked me into them. At first, I would always go with nickel Dunlops.
Yeah.
Because I just like the warmth of the nickel. But these stainless sound really good. They're really fat and they don't wear out as fast because I kind of tend to play hard with this hand. Lots of little hammer-on legato thing. Yeah. So I'm kind of
kind of
dig in all the time. If you do that a lot, playing like certain areas a lot, those frets end up getting worn faster, and then you gotta bring them all down. So I love these frets. This guitar also has a signature pickup that I did with John Sir.
Oh, cool.
They're Aldrich Sur pickups, and they're a little bit hotter. They're not compressed, though. They're really open and nice sounding. They clean up really well. Like, this is just with my volume.
Wow.
So, I love these pickups. They're available. You can contact Sur Guitars and get them. And then, what else about this guitar? When he did the frets, he put a new nut on it. And I had some old 70s knobs I stuck on this.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah. And then the last thing is the black pickguard I started doing because I bought this guitar, actually. This is another guitar. It's pretty much identical, but this one has been reliced. As you can see, it's really,
right.
it's all beat, but it freaking plays amazing. It sounds awesome. And when I bought it from Cowtown Guitars in Las Vegas about 3 or 4 years ago. He didn't have a white pickguard, the original pickguard for it. So I said, well, do you have any pickguard? And so I got this black one, you know, if you want. I go, stick it on there, at least I can play it. Because I'm used to anchoring off the pickguard with my picking.
Yeah.
And so I started to look at it, I'm like, it really ties in with the headstock and, I really love it. It's like having a black eye. So I called it the black eye gold top. And I started to really like that so that when you saw a gold top sitting around, if it had a black guard, chances are it might be mine.
Yeah, that's great.
So I started putting them on all the gold tops I got.
So, and these are, and that has the same setup, same frets.
Same neck, same everything. The only difference is the knobs.
Is there a preference, or are they both equally?
Actually, I love that one, but it was getting a little more beat up than I wanted to on the last tour, so I brought this one out.
Yeah.
And I have a couple others at home. I have an original, it's one of my original ones from when I was in Whitesnake and Dio.
Yeah.
That I broke the headstock a couple times on it, so I decided to retire that one. But it's a really killer gold top, and it's got a bunch of signature scratched on the back of it.
Oh, cool.
From like Tony Iommi and Lady Gaga, all these different people.
Oh, cool.
So I actually have a Sunburst that's got Jimmy Page's initial scratched. It's
perfect.
It's really cool. I was like, Jimmy, I don't want to bother you, but would you scratch your initials? And he's like, yeah, man, I've never done that before. Yeah, I do. So he took a fork and he did it like this. He went, J, just did a J, and then you just put a hook on the top for P.
That's great.
So when he turned 70, I retired that guitar because it was getting a little belt buckle rash too.
Sure.
But as far as other guitars on the tour, I have an ESP Tele that
Let me get a roadie for you. I'll grab that for you.
The Dead Daisies had a situation where they were where Marco was working with ESP, and he said, "Hey, you want to talk to the guys about doing something for you?" And I've always loved ESP. They're a great company.
Great guitars.
George Lynch is a friend, and Bruce Kulick's a friend. A bunch of different, a lot of different people. I think even originally Akira Takasaki might have been an ESP guy originally. And I've always loved their guitars, but I never had played one. And I went in their showroom, and they had a Tele that I really liked. It was a Ron Wood signature model.
Right.
And then we started talking about maybe doing something that I could do. Get a few different kind of sounds out of it than just a straight Tele. So we talked about a Tele custom kind of setup with setup like a Les Paul.
Right.
And it's got the Sur pickups in it. And
so are these your SIG?
Yeah.
Your SIG pickups? Great.
Yeah. And they took a couple Teles that I had at home with a little chunkier neck. So this is a bit thicker. It's more like a little bit more like a Les Paul or something like that. And this is a beautiful guitar. So I really love what they did for me with this. And
same frets as your.
It's actually not. They're the same height, but they're not the stainless. I think these are probably. I'm not sure what ESP uses, but it's a killer guitar.
Wow, that's a heavy Tele.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it to be heavy. It was just probably that piece of wood.
Yeah.
Usually Teles are a little bit lighter, but it sounds killer.
Right.
Plays great. It's different than this, you know, so
yeah.
It is what it is, but.
Yeah, is it much of a adjustment when you go from your Les Paul to the Tele?
It is, because the scale's different.
Yeah.
And, you know, the just little things like where this switch is located compared to the Tele, is you get everything down so much when you play with one guitar a lot.
Right.
And then when you switch guitars, no matter what it is, there's little differences, you know?
Yeah.
Even something like how the pick plate is set. You
know? Yeah.
Sometimes they're lower or higher or whatever, and I kind of have to get used to it. But I really like it. With the Dead Daisies, we travel really light. I just got a couple half stacks, a couple old amps, pedals, and three guitars.
You know what? Let's talk about these amps.
What I'm using normally is some 70s JMPs that are modified by John Suhr. Actually, this is a copy of my original one, which actually it got dropped and it's been blowing fuses, so I got to get it fixed. I'm going to be in Dallas tomorrow, so I'm going to see if I can get it fixed there, get it retubed or whatever it needs. But this is a copy. This is a 78, and it's got a master volume in it. It's really a nice, chunky sound on its own.
Yeah.
I'll show you. But it takes pedals really nicely, too. And it's got a dual master volume, so I can, if I want to, boost solos. There, it's off. You can't really hear it on the camera, but it boosts it a little bit, so I can, not only in my in-ears or in the monitors, but for the front of house guy, it helps to boost the solos a little bit. So that's that. I also have a delay hooked up to it, so for... And it's really nice for greasy guitar. It's in the loop of that head. So that head's kind of heavily modified, but it's got the essence of a 70s Marshall. It's made in 78.
It's amazing how dirty it gets and how clean it gets just by itself, man. That's killer.
Yeah, and if you want to go crazy, you can hit it in the front with, I've got a bunch of different pedals, things I've been,
I just, oh yeah.
I'm constantly changing all the time.
Sure, sure. Well, before we, hold on, I want to talk about that, but I want to hear the rest of these amps. So,
this is a 78 JMP.
And are you running stereo or?
I am running stereo, yeah.
Okay.
And this is a stock JCM 800. And I think it's a newer one.
Yeah.
It's a reissue 800 that is a spare amp, but I'm using that for the other side tonight. And it sounds great. It's Marshall, you know, especially the 800, pretty much you just plug it in and it's
right.
It sounds like what you put into it.
Yeah. And this is your backup?
This
just
is
in
actually
case?
This is not my backup, but it's a killer amp by itself. This is the Dives guitar player Mike's amp. Okay. And they're on tour with us right now, and he's got a really in your face sticky sound that this JTM 45 is kind of famous for.
Oh, cool. Oh, so is he using your cabinet?
Yeah, just for, you know.
Yeah, that's cool, you guys.
For ease of,
yeah.
Know, why lug two cabinets, you know?
Right, right.
And this cabinet actually right here is a 76, and it's got cream backs in it. It sounds really nice.
Yeah.
This one, it's that one. And this one is a reissue that's got 25s in it, 25 greenbacks.
Well, it's cool to see the reissue next to the vintage and how similar they are.
Yeah, they do a great job. I mean, if you ever are in England, actually, all these companies, they do amazing things. And when you go to Marshall, just watching the guys put the Tolex on the cabinets is really interesting, how they do it. And the way that they do everything is very interesting. So, but I love these old ones, man. They scream.
That's killer. Well, let's talk about your pedal board. And you're not you don't use a lot of effects. Like what I hear mostly is just, I mean, it's a pretty modest pedal board and you're doing a lot of stuff just.
I actually don't need all of that, but I like it.
Yeah.
It's fun to have to mess around with. Of course, I love wah. Everybody.
Yeah, so that is the.
This is the Custom Audio Electronics Dunlop.
Yeah, wah. Part of the Dunlop family.
And it's, it was designed by Bob Bradshaw for, I think he did it originally for Michael Landau.
Oh yeah, sure.
And I just love it, man. It's got the perfect sweep to it, and
so how's your signal start? Are you starting with the...
Starts by here. I got a wireless, which normally I would never do a wireless because I'm a cable guy, but A company called Electrosonics makes these wireless.
It's tiny.
That's the receiver.
God, it's amazing.
So the receiver, I don't have to send signal all the way back to the amps and then have it come back to the floor. It goes directly to the floor from my guitar and goes right into the Phase 90 and then into the wah. Phase 90 is a staple. And
Van Halen like made it, or everybody's got to have one after that. Turned all the way down.
So for those things, you know. All the way to, you know. In between stuff, kind of Hendrix-y. It's kind of got a little secret jack of all trades pedal.
Yeah, it's amazing the variety you get out of that one knob on that pedal. Yeah.
And then it goes into, I have a signature pedal with a company called Magic Box, and it's called the Rocket Fuel, and it's basically two different kinds of preamps. It's got an overdrive that. I'm not setting it super hot because it doesn't need it. But then the other side's more of a. It's just really nice. Out of that, I'm going into a Schaefer replica, which is the kind of a copy of the guts of the Nady, the Schaefer Nady wireless system that everyone used to play through to get this kind of compressed, sticky sound. Angus Young has always used those wirelesses.
Yeah,
those old Schaefer.
Isn't that funny where a wireless becomes part of your tone? You know,
Van Halen was using it.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a very subtle thing, but it's really nice. Little subtle stickiness.
Yeah, God, that's great.
And then coming out of that into a volume pedal.
Yeah, Ernie Ball standard.
Standard, which is great for sometimes you got a lot of different things going on. Sometimes you just want to grab the pedal, or sometimes if you got a lot of noise happening, instead of a noise gate, which I used to use sometimes, I would just say, if I had all this stuff going, then you could just clean it up.
Kill
right
it.
Away.
Yeah, that's great.
And then you can tune and all that. But the other thing that it serves is my tech was right here. Lee Hollister is.
Lee?
Lee's amazing. He's a freaking genius. But I said, I need to see if we can hire to make a Y cable out of this thing so that basically I can tune, but I can also send a talk box. So for. And then if I want to,
that's great, man.
If I want to blend into the regular sound, So you can, when it's in the front of house, it's really loud with the guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, what a great blend. That's great, man.
Yeah, that's cool. And then out of that, I go into an MXR carbon copy delay that I just goof around with it with different noises and stuff.
Yeah.
Like you might hit something like. It's I think kind of like that Van Halen thing where he did that end of Eruption, and then he had it kind of sound like a dive bomb down.
Right.
He did one of these things.
Yeah, was it like an Echoplex or something that he did?
Yeah.
Or,
was set like that.
Maybe it was set like this.
I think, so, you know, that kind of
that
thing.
That is so great, but,
so
man.
I just goof around with that thing.
Yeah.
The last pedal I got here is it's a really awesome new pedal, new technology by Eventide that is, also I forgot to say, TC Electronics Polytune,
sure.
The little baby one, it's awesome. Small, doesn't get take up too much footprint. So then the Eventide pedal is kind of a jack of all trades, it does everything.
You can,
it's got everything from fuzzes and reverbs and delays and compressors.
What do you find yourself using the most on it?
With this, right now, I'm doing a split, so stereo. So you can't really hear it on this, but if you stand here, I'll show you.
Okay, cool.
So that's regular. Regular. But it's got that, and then you can switch presets and have it with some delays.
Yeah. Like those are really, really saucy delays for clean stuff and whatever.
That has got to feel so good to stand in front of that every night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's basically it.
God, that's killer, man. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, hey, congrats. This is a killer band.
It's a fun band to work with, man. These guys, we've all been friends for years.
And, yeah.
We travel light. We're lean and mean with our crew, just a few guys.
Yeah.
But we're able to get out and we're just kind of doing it one night at a time, one club at a time, and one fan at a time.
Right.
Try and convert people to check the band out. You know?
And what a great vehicle for you to just blow, man. I mean,
yeah, it's
a guitar band.
It's mostly about the songs. You know, that's really what it comes down to.
Sure.
But there are opportunities. I don't know if you guys are going to stick around. But once I get warmed up, I'll throw some stuff out.
All right, hey man, pleasure. Thanks so much,
Sean.
Doug.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, cheers.
Thanks, guys.
A little bit of jam.
right. Hey, this is John Bolger with Premier Guitar. I'm here with Marco Mendoza of the Dead Daisies. Marco, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah.
We appreciate all the support.
Man, absolutely. Okay, so I know you primarily, you know, driving eighths, but it's mm-hmm. really great to see all that fluidity with your fingers.
Oh, and thanks, man.
Do you spend most of the time on picks or fingers when you're playing?
I do live? Both, and that's a good question. People ask that, as you can tell, I don't use picks.
Yeah.
I throw a lot the fans dig that. It's something I developed after so many years.
Yeah.
It's probably like a nervous tick on stage. It's become part of what I do. But I do both. Depending on the song,
sure.
The tone, where you want to go with it. You want to be dynamic.
Right.
When you're driving, you got two guitar players.
Right.
Monster sound. The pick kind of works.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
When you're playing the slower bouts of eighth notes, I mean the quarter notes and the half notes, the big footballs that we call, then you go to the finger and that's cool too.
Right, right.
But when you need attack, I go to the pick. It's something I don't even think about anymore. It's only when people ask. So.
Right. Just kind of whatever serves the song.
Whatever serves the song.
Yeah.
That's I think, you know, and I like to talk about that because side of a good drummer and a good bass player is to apply yourself to the song, the music.
Right.
I think that's, and that came with a lot of years of experience.
Sure.
A lot of maturity, I think. I think I'm mature. But no, it's just learning about music, how the whole thing works.
Mm-hmm.
The main foundation, our job is to provide that foundation for the melodies and the solos and all that. So.
Well, when you and the band are in full flight and you're driving, it is like a freight train, man.
Thank you, brother.
Huge. Well, yeah.
Playing with a cat like Brian is a pleasure, man.
He's, yeah.
He drives.
Yeah.
I always, that's one of my favorite sayings, man. I have to play with drummers that drive.
Right, right.
Because you end up being a driver as well. So
right.
Together, it's cool.
One, it makes it so easy on the guitar players. They can just hang out they can let 10 bars go by.
They
just
can.
Groove.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
at the right time, they can. But what ends up happening is we all kind of push each other. We inspire each other on stage and all that. Yeah. This band's great. I can't say enough good things about the
killer band. Well, let's. This is your signature bass, correct?
This is my signature bass. It came out with BSP Ltd.
Yeah, beautiful.
And I've had a few before, but I got to say this is the closest I've been to developing and the design and all that, because it's you know, it's designed by a bass player for a bass player. So
right.
It's got all the good things. I got rid of a lot of the extra stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of a lot of buttons and a lot of options.
Sure.
I'm a very simple guy.
Yeah.
I like volume on.
Yeah.
Right? And tone on and off.
Yeah.
And because I play a lot with my options,
yeah,
I tape the one in the middle so I don't do that.
right.
And if I could, I'd probably cancel that. So just use the volume.
Well, and the tone's kind of in your hands anyway.
Thank you. I was just going to say that again, you know, fingers, picks, where you play.
Yeah.
You can hear it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And what I've gotten rid of is all the active stuff. So what you're hearing is the wood.
Yeah.
And the fingers and the pickups. The pickups are pretty. They're passive, but they've got a little bit of a hump in mid-range. I'm a big mid-range fan for clarity, especially with a big rock band.
Yeah, loud. Absolutely. Yeah,
so,
that low stuff is warm as it feels, it gets a little lost.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, and so are these Seymour Duncans, are they stock in your signature bass?
They are. I wanted to come up with a bass that anybody could go to the nearest retailer store and just off the rack and say, boom, you know?
Yeah.
We also try to make an effort to try and keep it cost effective.
Yeah.
Because we realize that a lot of the up and coming players, they don't have a lot of money to spend. So I wanted to make it a bass that could hang out with. If you're going to go from, you know, beginner to intermediate to a full pro guy, you know, you could probably use the same bass.
Oh, absolutely.
This one.
That one right there.
It's the MM4. I'm so flattered, man. It's so flattering.
Yeah, what an honor. Well, you deserved it. I mean, you've got this amazing career, and that's what happens.
Thank you. Yeah, you're not long enough, right?
Yeah. Playing enough hit records, it's going to happen.
Yeah, and when you love what you do, too, that's a big deal. And I do. I still do.
Yeah, of course, man. Well, so are they all, it's a maple neck, of course.
It's a maple neck.
Maple fingerboard.
And we have a alder body with a maple top to create. I'll give a little bit of that top.
Sure.
Something I learned way back.
Yeah.
At Seymour Duncan and maple fingerboard.
Yeah.
Which is also my favorite for rock and roll.
Yeah.
I do a lot of different genres, mm-hmm. and maple's begun, started to be in my favorite fingerboard wood.
And I see you've got the drop option on that low string. Does that come stock on it?
Or it does come stock, yeah.
That's a hit shot. What a great option to have.
Yeah, and one thing I learned throughout the years too, because we always used to, when hit shot came out with it years ago, we used to add it to an existing bass, and it was never right.
Yeah.
The key is to put it on as you're building the bass so you can work out all the kinks.
Right.
So it's very extremely accurate, which is
dead
on.
That's great.
Except you don't have to. So I don't have to hassle with it, and I go boom, you know?
And just absolute immediate. That's great. And I like it. Your neck has a little bit of a volute back there.
It does. I'm a big fan of that because also when you're running around, like you'll see me later, I'm running around, you kind of lose your place.
Sure.
And that keeps you in the first position.
Yeah.
It's my stop.
Yeah, that's great. And a little more strength.
My thumb.
It's going to, your neck's not, your headstock's not going to break off.
Get beat up. Exactly.
Yeah, when you're.
It's a little bit of a slant too. Something we learned after so many years.
All right.
To do a flat. Because we always used to add a tree.
Right, the Fender thing.
The Fender, the precision jazz.
And that's where you started, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we all did. Man.
Yeah.
I
mean, that was the only game in town back
in
the day.
That was. Yeah. If you start early enough. But I have quite a collection. I have a few basses.
I bet you've got some cool old stuff.
Some cool ones, yeah. I'm not a collector per se, but I'm not a collector, but.
Some good tools.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, so this obviously is your number one, but your second over here, this sexy red thing.
Yeah, this is a vintage bass. Love this bass.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
And actually, when I started talking to ESP, this is the first bass that I got from them, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah, it's great, yeah.
And actually, this bass is designed and modeled after this one.
So you start with this and tweaked it to your own specifications.
Yes, yeah. And but you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into building a bass. You have to take a lot of things into consideration. Mm-hmm. The material, the components, the whole thing. So we try to get as close as we can, but this is a beautiful bass.
Yeah.
This will cost a few bucks out there in the market. That one's affordable.
That's
it's
great.
Available for the beginner, for the intermediate. Just go to your nearest retailer and distributor and ask for the MM4 ESP LTD.
Now, what sort of strings are you running on this?
I've been working with D'Arderi for quite a long time now. They're my favorite string of all time.
Yeah, great, great string.
And I play a little bit of guitar. I use their strings for guitar and every instrument that I use. They're just very consistent, and they're just a great company. They support the artist,
right.
which means a lot these days.
Sure. Know? How long do your strings usually last you? Because you're an aggressive player and you work a lot.
Funny you should ask. Two nights ago, I broke a string.
Wow.
My E string, which is unheard of,
because
I go 105.
You would really have to hit that thing.
I must have been hitting so hard, but I popped an E string and I got through the set, and then that's what we have a standby bass.
Yeah, the backup.
I would say three shows. I'm not a fan of the new strings because of the tone.
Sure.
I think you got to add a little bit of grease on it
to
give you that the desired tone.
Right.
Everybody's different. So there's cats that like to change it every night.
Yeah.
I remember doing that too.
Yeah.
But right now with this gig, I'm happy to do 2-3 gigs at a time.
Yeah, this gig needs the grease.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, great. Okay, so and you're running a wireless unit.
Wireless, yes. Yeah.
And then from there, you're going into your Ampeg SV-T4 Pro.
Yeah, which is, again, you know, when you're out there as busy as I am, you want to have the best tools possible, available. And again, Ampeg, they set the standard and the precedent to the rest of the freaking market out there.
Yeah.
Everybody's modeling their stuff, you know, up against this. So I was happy to land here. I landed here recently and
They've been a standard of the industry.
They have been.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to work with them. It just had never worked out. Mm. And I'm really happy, man. I mean, the tone is unequivocally the best stuff out there.
And you're running it basically flat, looks like. And
again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the wood, the pickups, and the fingers.
Right.
And then it gives the front of house and the monitor guys, a little room to work.
Sure, sure.
Because I'm a big fan of that. If I ever need some more, then I have options, you know?
Yeah.
But look at that. Yeah, I'm running
clean.
Flat.
Clean. Yeah.
With every rig I've ever played for a long time.
And no pedals, I love that.
None.
Just straight in.
Straight in, I'm old fashioned, old school.
Yeah, rock and roll, that's great. And are you running both of those?
No, we have one on standby in case something happens.
Your backup.
Backup.
Because one of them is, I mean, like, we'll peel the paint off the walls.
It's a lot of wattage.
Yeah, it's a
lot of wattage.
Yeah.
And I think we're going 25%, 30%.
Wow.
On the stage. And don't need more.
Yeah,
you know?
And the classic looks like 8x10 inch.
10 SVT cab.
That's moving a lot of air.
The classic, man. It moves a lot of air. There's a few songs where I use a little distortion, and we go distortion and clean, distortion and clean.
Oh, great.
So it's not to use the tone, not to lose the tone, the bass tone. But, and I'm like that. I'm very simple, you know, I'm a simple cat. I like tone, I like the foundation of everything.
Yeah.
And then it's up to you what you do with it.
Yeah.
So make it work.
The difference is when you really listen to yourself, you can get all your tones out of your hands, minimal gear, but it's kind of a matter of listening, you know?
Listening, and there's a lot of cats out there doing some amazing stuff with pedals and effects and all that.
Yeah.
I just never went that route. I think I decided at one point I wanted to be a functional working bass player.
Right.
And
you have.
And I want to be part of the tools
that's
needed for a gig, for a session, for a song, for whatever. And that's what it is.
And you are always working, man.
I'm so blessed, man.
Yeah, that's
very
great.
Very privileged. I'm working a lot, thank God.
And you're out heavy right now.
We are.
Yeah.
We are, we're doing Nashville tonight.
Yeah.
Basement East. And we're doing the Dirty Dozen dates, which
ended
up being like 14 or 15 dates
now.
But with the Dead Days 7, The Blast.
Yeah.
We did Europe, South America, Japan, Mexico.
Wow.
And then we went
now
back
in Europe.
To
are you doing backline gear, just bringing a bass, or
we
or?
Do half and half. We bring okay. our stuff and then rent whatever's needed
yeah.
out there. These days you got to do it that way.
Sure.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
But we are out there flying the flag high and mighty for classic rock and roll.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, this is a great band. Everywhere you look, it's like monsters.
Right.
These are the cream of the crop cats. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? The band couldn't be better.
Yeah.
And we're constantly pushing and adding songs and rearranging the set. And ultimately, we want to provide the best show and record the best music possible. That's right. A common denominator with everybody. So
right.
we're having a blast doing it too.
Man,
you gotta have fun, right?
Yo, it's all about that. Well, congratulations,
thank you so much,
man.
John.
Yeah,
thanks,
yeah.
Man.
What a
thanks
pleasure.
Thanks for your time, brother.
Okay. Cheers. Yeah. Till next time.
We'll see you soon.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.